Well, I think I'm going to leave for Amistad and go down and fish with my buddy Derek Remitz and see if I can catch 36, 38 pounds. Just go out there and just, you know, take a football jig and go out on a drop and see if I can catch them. Derek, welcome to Bass Fan Radio.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on today, Derek.
Well, you and I got to talk. You lived in Texas at the time. Before that, you were in Minnesota. Now you're an Alabama, and you're kind of a whirlwind tour, but, you know, the things are happening so fast for you. It's a great story, you know, a young man who had dreams and aspirations of being a professional angler and then took it and decided to leave home and go to, you know, from Minnesota to Texas and then led the Opens, won those, and then went to the Classic, did pretty well there. And then the Elite Series kicks off, and guess what? You win there. How much more fun can that be?
I tell you, it's just been a blast for the last couple months. The way everything's happening, I can't explain it. To be honest with you, it's just probably the coolest feeling in the world. Still can't quite find the words to describe it yet. It's just keep the momentum rolling if I can, and, you know, still take her a day at a time, really, when I'm fishing, because it's a pretty humbling sport, really. You never know when you're, there's just so many highs and lows, you never know when it's going to go down, and just try to enjoy it when you're up, I suppose.
Well, there's no question you're up. I mean, you know, you look at this thing, and 24 years old, not very old, and, you know, Derek, I got to tell you, you know, everybody else, the general rule was when you went to Amistad, was it was going to be a shallow bite, maybe just a little bit of deep water, but nothing like you found and nothing to the orders of magnitude of the fish you found. And kind of go through in your mindset when you went into the event and what you found and just kind of to let the folks know a little bit about what went on.
Well, I went up shallow the first day of practice, and I went looking, and I just saw too many empty beds, and there was, you know, with as much press as this lake's been getting in the last few years, there's just going to be a lot of people out here fishing. And I decided, you know, from what I seen that day, I would go out deep the next few days and just go looking, because I'd been down here the year before in a tournament and kind of had the same pattern working. And I just figured, you know, if I can get 6, 7, 8 bites out deep, the ones I was getting that I found that day are on Tuesday in practice. They were all 5 to 7, 8 pounders, and I thought, sacrifice bites for quality, you know, and it just had to grind it out every day, but fortunately I could catch 25 to 30 pounds a day doing that. So.
Well, you come from the country where we have to grind them out. I mean, the Midwest and upper Midwest, you know, tournaments are won because people are grinders and they can go out there and you know, take advantage of what goes on. But you're fishing a body of water that's known for big bags. And after the first couple of days, you had great weight. Were you feeling pretty good and pretty comfortable that you were going to be able to catch them the last couple of days?
No, I was a little nervous every day. I kind of thought I had to have the right weather to catch them. The sun really helped what I was doing out on those ledges. And, you know, the forecast for the last day was cloudy and windy, and I was really nervous going into the last day because I didn't know if I was going to catch them or not. And, of course, everybody behind me, too, everybody in the top 12 is very capable of catching 35, 40 pounds, no problem out here. It was really setting up for the guys like Todd and Kevin and Mike to really catch them, and Steve too, you know. And I just really stuck out, you know. I didn't put but 2 or 3 rods on my deck, and I said I'm gonna live or die with my ledges, and unfortunately it worked out.
Well, that living part is a lot of fun, and the Omega company has to be very happy because I'm sure they've sold some football head jigs now. And tell me a little bit about that jig. What made it special?
I think that, you know, I just got a lot of confidence throwing a big football jig, and I have more confidence deep when, you know, I love fishing shallow, but I just have more confidence fishing deep water and especially throwing that big jig out there. I think what really helped was that he had it's that round rubber, that living rubber skirt.
Right.
And, you know, that really expands when you're down, and no matter how deep you are, it just expands out, and I put a big trailer on it. And I think giving that big profile down there kind of made them big fish eat a little better. Of course, that'll make a jig. It's the way the hook is on it. You know, it's hard. You can lose a few fish. You know, you're going to lose fish no matter what, but they stay pinned up pretty good on that jig, it seems like.
Now, were you dragging the jig, hopping the jig? How were you fishing it?
I was really kind of dead-sticking it. I keep my boat right over the ledge, and it was easier when it was calmer. It was really tough when it was rough, but try to keep that boat right over that break and just kind of pitch out to the edge of that break, and it almost looked like I would be working a drop shot out there, just kind of shaking it a little bit on that ledge, and you'd kill it for about a minute, and then you pick up again, and you just feel them kind of suck it up. You know, it's really the first time I've ever had to fish that slow in my life, but it was really all the key was being slow, and I think having that big jig, that big profile down there.
Oh, Well, I got to tell you, you know, 24 years old, you know, what you're telling me is things like Larry Nixon and Mark Davis and guys like that know about. Not a 24-year-old kid from Minnesota. You had to use your electronics. You had to go out there. You're fishing a ledge that drops off in, what, 80 feet of water, gin clear water. And you're finesse power fishing and catching these fish. That's really cool. It's a neat deal.
Well, I appreciate that, Jerry. I mean, I probably, you know, those guys got 30, 40 years on me, and they're probably caliber is way better. I'm just still trying to learn what I can, and I think, you know, fishing the last 2 years has really helped me just gain confidence, and, you know, every tournament I do, I try to make the learning curve go up 100%, and still, it's a day after the win, and I still can't describe how I feel about it, and what I've learned a ton this week, I know that.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm amped for you. If there's any consolation, you know, I of course got to meet your family at the Classic, and what a great bunch of people, your mom and your dad and uncle and all the people that were involved with you at the Classic. And then they go with you down here. I think you're going to have to take them everywhere you go now.
Yeah, I think I would be just fine if my mom and dad and uncle came with me everywhere I go. It seemed to we're one for one with them, so...
Well, that's important, you know, and I got to see your mom, and I know she had to be busting a bubble because she was at the Classic. She was very, very excited about, you know, your participation in the Classic number one, but you earned that slot. And then she said, you know, just really a neat feeling to watch you go out and mature as an angler. And then you win the next one. That's got to be cool for her, too.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I think her and my dad and my uncle, too, I know they were more excited when I came up the last day than I was even. It was cool seeing them there and seeing how excited they got. I think that was the best part of winning, just seeing how excited and proud they were, you know. I wouldn't trade my parents for anybody, my whole family. I wouldn't trade my whole family for anybody in the world, so.
Well, you know, it's great to have that support. It's great to have that mechanism in place, and I'm sure that there's going to be, you know, extra brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and everybody else coming out of the woodwork now as you keep having this success. They're going to say, well, you know, he's my nephew, he's my uncle, he's my brother, you know, one of those kind of things. You look at the success now, you got Kevin Van Dam talking about you, you got Mike Iaconelli talking about you. You know, Mike just won the Angler of the Year, and he was happy for you to see you get that win.
Yeah, that blew me away just to hear those guys talk about me. Like, I mean, that's just a total dream come true there. And I mean, I got so much respect for those guys, and to know that they have the same respect back for me is just, you know, it's just amazing. It's all just, the way it's coming together has just been a dream of mine since I was 4 or 5 years old, you know, watching all everybody on TV.
Well, I tell you what, you're an inspiration to all of us, the humbleness and that kind of stuff. And I got to ask you about the burns, man. You got these pork chop sideburns going. We're going to see kids all over the country start growing those back now that you've become a star here.
Oh, I suppose that'd be all right. You know, I've had them too long to get rid of them now. I think I've had them since I'm about 20 years old, so I think they're staying with me.
Yeah, well, they look good on you, and it's one of those things where it's definitely a unique thing, and, you know, you get to see you and how you react with the press and the fact that you are a humble guy. Now, talk about moving over to Alabama. You moved to Texas, lived down there for a while, now moved to Alabama. What was the reason for that?
You know, I was living in Texas was great. Just the fact that still, for the way the tour is set up, there's still a lot of tournaments out east, and that Huntsville area or that whole northern Alabama area seems to be really centrally located for most of the tournaments besides running out west. The whole location, I think, was the main reason I moved out there.
Well, it's just absolutely a wonderful story. You think it's one of those things that it culminates over years, and now you're seeing this great success at a very young age. You know, don't change anything about yourself. You know, stay as humble as you are and just keep stroking them, man. I'm going to be calling you every week, it looks like.
Well, I hope so. You know, like I say, you know, it can go up just as fast as it can go down. You know, either way, just gotta, I'd like to say my motto is just kind of take it day by day, and, you know, I think Ike hit the nail on the head when he says, you know, fish the moment and live the moment. You know, that's I think what this sport is all about.
Well, there's no question you're doing it the right way, and congratulations on a great win at Amistad, and great luck as you go out to California. I know you've never been there before, so it'll be fun to see how you react out there as well.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Terry. It's great to have a few people pulling for you every once in a while, so.
Well, I'm pulling for you. You can count on that. I'll be calling you after you win the next one. How's that?
That sounds like a plan, but I guess I got to go out there. There's 100 other guys that are trying to win it, too.
So. That's right. That's right. Well, that's part of that humbleness that I like about you. Derek, thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
I appreciate it, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.